Lord, Luke denied, amen.
That's okay.
Well, Lord, we still love your word. We're just in the wrong place in your word. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. We just finished up Ephesians chapter 1. We're teaching out of Exodus on Sunday morning.
You was mentioning there before the service started about if there's two or three together in a mist, got to be in a mist. Amanda wrote on here and said, well, there's two or three in the building, but you are blessing so many more online that you don't know
we
about.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
The Bible does tell us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, wherefore taking thee the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We're in a warfare down here. Even though they're fighting with Amalek, and I'm fighting with it tonight, well, thank you. We're actually in Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah.
And it starts out here, and we just finished up Ephesians chapter 1, talking about we're in the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. About the same territory, talking about how the devil wants to trip you up.
Right.
And you know, before I got saved, I did walk according to the course of this world. I had to talk, the walk, smelled like them. I did like them, but I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world now.
Amen.
Christ has made a difference in 080 weight. Everybody kind of scratched their head. A lot of them probably said, I wonder how long this will last.
Yeah.
Probably still got, people still probably got money bet on Eddie going back, calling off the wagon, going back to the bottle. And if it wasn't for Jesus, that would be true.
Yes, it would.
But I have to admit, Psalms 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
And I have to admit, it's so much better. I forgot about the other.
That's
and I'm
right.
going back. And the reason being the fact that the Lord has begun to work in us. And Philippians talking about being confident of this.
Yes.
He that's begun a good work in you will continue to the day of Christ. And the Lord, He works on us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, in that He which has begun a good work in
Hi,
you
Patricia.
Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's working on me. I'm not what I used to be.
That's
I'm not
right.
what I'm going to be. I'm a work in progress. Growing every day. Matter of fact, you can tell that. Just started out in Exodus. Now we're done in Ephesians. Amen. But here, the Lord, His goal is to make us in His image. We're clay, He's potter.
Yes.
We're the children, He's the father. But there's also a prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That devil wants to trip you up.
Yes, he does.
Let me spend just a little bit right here. A lot of people get saved, then they fall in that category that Paul mentioned in the book of Galatians. You did run well.
Yeah.
Who did hinder you.
Yeah.
You see, when you get saved, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the word, you may grow thereby.
Yeah.
You're not going to grow without the word.
No.
You're not going to grow without good Christian fellowship.
That's right.
And the more you grow and the more you know, the more you're able to stand and go for God. This verse right here talks about that prince of the power of the air. That's that lying spirit, the devil. And he now works in the children of disobedience. You can get out in that far country. Even though you're saved, you can get out of the will of God. You can get out of the house of God. You can get back into the world. But thank be to God that that Holy Spirit of God will draw us back. But here, talks about how we walked before we got saved. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Yeah, I still remember some of the things I used to talk about.
Yeah.
Things that wasn't fit to talk about.
Right.
The Paul here being honest, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, before I got saved, I had the mind of this world. And I enjoyed bragging, enjoyed, you know, telling things wouldn't fit to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of anger. He said here, children of wrath, even as others. But now I've got the Spirit of God, which is meek and lowly, and love even, you know, my enemies. Love them. Want them to be my friends, not my enemies. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. The love of God. It's hard for us to understand. I was trying to tell that young boy come to my house today about the love of God. The Bible mentions herein His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us.
Yes.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. That's the kind of love that's hard to understand. God loved us even when we was unlovable. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, ought we also love one another. And that's what we strive to do, is love people now. And that great love wherewith God loved us gets in us and helps us to love people. Beforehand, I'd get mad. Now I'm forgiving them. Either in their presence or in prayer and asking God to help them. You know, I may not have understood it back years ago, double fist up, you know, and I want to knock somebody's head off, but now I understand why people are like they are, because now you can see what's going on. Beforehand, I didn't look, didn't care, but now I do care, and now I do look, and I look for ways to help people. You'd be surprised how easy it is to help people. If you can just say the right word in the right spirit, you'd be surprised the results that would come from that.
Yeah, that's
instead
right.
Instead of, you know, being contentious, to rather have compassion. I remember hearing a story one time about a preacher who was asked to go visit this guy, and he was very hard to reason with, very arrogant, very confrontational. And the preacher went over there, and the man was sitting at the table. The preacher knocked on the door. He said, come on in. The preacher come in. He said, sit down there. And the preacher sat down there, and he was an older preacher. And the man was sitting there drinking a beer. And he asked the preacher, he said, you want one of these? And the preacher said, no, no, thank you, sir. And he hit the preacher in the mouth, knocked him plumb over the back of the chair. And the preacher got up, got his handkerchief out, and wiped the blood off his lip. And he said, I didn't come to fight with you. I come to tell you I love you. I'm praying for you. I'd like for you to get in church. And he said all manner of things about that preacher, told him to get out of his house. And that preacher left his house, no doubt prayed for this man. But a couple Sundays went by, and this man showed up over at the church. And he just went straight to the altar and gave his heart to Jesus. And he stood up, turned around the church, and he said, I had to get saved. He said, that preacher has went to bed with me every night since I showed my hand in. And he came over to my house. And he said, I wanted to make peace with God. Yeah. Now I'm going to ask Him to forgive me.
Yeah, that's right.
And the preacher, he said, will you please forgive me what I did? And the preacher said, son, you're forgiven the day you did it. And thank you for coming over here and giving your heart to Jesus. But you see, you overcome evil with good.
Yes, that's right.
You don't fight fire with fire.
No.
You return love. And here, that great love wherewith He loved us, that's our greatest weapon is the love of God.
Yeah, it's hard.
Bible talks about our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. My pastor used to say, nobody don't care how much you know. They won't know how much you care. But verse 5, he says, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ by grace. grace, you're saved, and I am saved.
That's right.
And even though it's hard for us to understand the simplicity of salvation, there's more to it, but God made it easy. He made it so easy that if you would call upon Him, that He would not just hear, but He would answer your call. God's not hard to find, and He's also not hard to please. If your heart's right, you've done got the biggest problem already fixed. You know, my heart was broke. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I deserved hell. I did not deserve mercy. I did not deserve grace. And yet God gave me that mercy and that grace. And Jesus asked Peter one day, who loved me the most? Well, it was Simon. It may not have been Simon Peter. It was a man named Simon. It might have been a Pharisee. He said, I've got a question for you. Who loved me the most? He's been forgiven of much. Or he's been forgiven little. Simon said, I suppose he's been forgiven of much. And he says, thou hast judged rightly. But some of them old rough sinners make tremendous Christians. And it's this grace here. By grace, we're saved. God shed His grace on us. And boy, I have to admit, I've said this a lot, but I mean it. I wish I could go through it again.
Yeah,
I remember, Brother Ed, I remember dragging my sin up there. I got saved in my bedroom, but I remember dragging it up there. I mean, just a mountain of sin. And I knelt down there trembling and humble and really kind of fearful, wondering if God would or could forgive me my sins. And I still remember my little simple prayer. I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you to forgive me my sin to save my soul, Brenda, I said, Lord, best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And God saved me so fast, I have to admit. It happened so fast. I couldn't believe it. There I was, just in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, I was immediately saved. He saved me before I could even get it all out.
Praise the Lord.
That peace, you know, that flooded my soul, that joy of being saved, so wonderful. But He says here, by grace you're saved.
I got something I need to read you.
All right.
Brother Eddie, this is my ex-daughter-in-law. Amanda, remember I told you she was a Catholic, and we turned her into a Baptist.
Hey,
what best Baptist they are.
Hallelujah.
I mean, she is a sweet. She said, thank you, Pastor, for leading my parents here your word. You are saving lives even here in Indiana.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Praise the Lord.
That grace is sufficient. And I told that young boy that was at my house today, his name was Austin Florence. His father's name's David Florence. His father's having surgery. And we done pray for his father. We pray for him.
Thank you, man.
But up at that rescue mission where they're working at, they've got some less desired people. He wants me to come up there on the 13th of June. He wants me to come up there. That's on a Tuesday. And I do want to go up there. Y'all pray about that with me. I do want to go up there. It's a long ways where I live, up in Manchester. But he wants me to come up there. And I share him with him Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, where God said, come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, God said, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, God said, I'll make them as wool. God's got grace enough to save the whole world.
Yeah.
And the whole world should be saved.
Amen.
But the world doesn't understand God's grace. If they did understand God's grace, they'd run to it instead of from it. And I know that because I did that for 34 years.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't understand how much God loved me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand how much He could help me. But I have to admit, after I got under that fountain of grace, I have to admit, I kind of like the territory pretty good. Amen.
Amen.
But Paul goes on to say, by grace you're saved and have raised us up together.
Yeah.
made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've had some heavenly experiences down here on earth.
Yeah.
We were dead in trespasses and sin there in verse 1, but now we're raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
My citizenship now is heaven. I always have reservations when I vote. Write down my citizenship. Are you a U.S. citizen? I say, well, I got a dual citizenship. I am a U.S. citizen, but I'm a citizen of heaven too. Amen?
Yeah.
But hallelujah for that. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, boy, I've been on the wrong side of God. I'm on the good side of God now.
Yeah.
And God says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Let me read a verse right now. It just came to me as I read that. In Luke chapter number 6, this is talking about God. And it's telling us to be like God. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Here's why I wanted to read this verse. For he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God, he reaches out to the one that doesn't even, not even thankful, that's wicked. And, he tells us here that in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know, I've already benefited from the grace, the mercy, and the kindness of God. But all can be saved if all will come. Jesus died for all. He calls to all. And all are loved, and all can be forgiven, and all can be saved. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You got God here just full of kindness, grace, and this salvation here is God's gift. And it says, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I know people enough to know they stumble pretty bad at this right here. They want to do something, but Jesus finished the work on the cross.
Yes, he did.
When he said it's finished, there's nothing that we can do. It's done. And there's some people in John that asked the Lord a question. Let me see if I can find it. I thank the Lord for his presence here tonight.
Yes.
He's really helping. They come to Jesus and they said, what good work? John chapter 6, verse 28, and they then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered them, verse 29, and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. You see, Jesus done the work, and all we're supposed to do is believe in the finished work of Christ. And that was the work that they asked, what work might we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said believing on him was the work of God. Now let me read one more place if I can find Ecclesiastes. Oh, Lord's running me everywhere in the Word of God tonight.
Bless him, Lord.
I don't mind it as long as I can find them.
Yeah, that's right.
I know where it's at on the page. That helps a little bit. Things right about here. It's going to be one of them I'm just going to have to quote, I think. I thought I had it underlined in here.
I bet you do in your old Bible.
Yeah, I know I do in my old Bible. The verse says we know that when God does something that you can't add to it, neither can you take it away from it.
That's right.
What Jesus did at Calvary, you don't need to add to it. You just need to accept it.
That's it.
There's nothing else to do but, like Jesus says, believe on Him whom He sent. I will underline it. If I had my little Franklin, I'd already found this thing here. When God does something, it can't be added to and it can't be taken away. He finished the redemption work at Calvary. And
He said it is finished.
This verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's so many down here, even today, and it's a terrible heresy, that want to add something to the finished work of Calvary. Now, just to put this maybe in perspective, in Titus, it talks about not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy. Titus chapter 3.
No worries.
Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, notice this, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God done all the work. Our work is just to believe in the finished work of Christ.
That's it.
And this verse 9 is real important. It's the gift of God. Verse 8, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm really having to follow the Lord here tonight. But in 1 Corinthians, you got them boasters there. I'm a Paul. I'm a Cephas. You know, they're making divisions here.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says here, in verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm Cephas, and I'm Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul's putting a distinction here that all the glory goes to Jesus.
That's right.
And some people, due to church doctrines and creeds and stuff, they think you got to do this. Some of them believe you're saved by being baptized. Look, I got saved before I got baptized. Two weeks later, right. I got baptized, and my baptism was a public proclamation of an inward faith. You know, it didn't add anything to the finished work. What it did, I did give praise and glory to God in that work. You see, James said, faith without works is dead. In other words, nobody can see it. Somebody sees me read my Bible, they're seeing my faith. Somebody saw me get baptized that day at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church, and it was a guy I worked with, Mark Bunch. He come up there, Mark Bunch, big old boy, and he said, I refuse to believe God could save someone like you, and I have to admit, I was unable to give him the answer that he was looking for. And he said, I want to hear your testimony. I told him how Jesus had saved me. He picked me up even though I was wet, but I squeezed all the life out of him. He said, well, I believe it now, but you see that? He saw my faith that day I got baptized.
That's right.
And even though he didn't think God could save, I was a wicked sinner. Even though he didn't think God could save a sinner like me, those works declared the salvation of God.
Right.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. And God help the man that holds the snake up. God help the man that you know, drinks strychnine, saying, you know, the latter part of Matthew, you know, they'll take up snakes or drink any deadly thing. A lot of them boys have lost their lives.
Yeah, boy.
And this old boy, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do that. Christ in me is all I need. And you know, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When people see me going to the house of God, that's good enough. I don't need a copperhead in one hand and a rattlesnake in the other hand.
Lord,
I don't need to drink strychnine. I don't need to do things like that. I just need the common thing. Just go to the house of God. Hey, they see me handing somebody a tract. They see me down praying over my food. Those foreordained works, they show who we are and who, we serve there. Verse 11, wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that in time past ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We got in through Christ.
Yeah.
God shows the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites. I was always jealous that I wasn't a Hebrew or an Israelite till I read this verse here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Says, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed.
Yeah.
I'm a spiritual Jew,
that's
and heirs
right.
According to the promise. Yeah. We got in on that promise through Christ.
Yes, we did.
And we were far off, but now we're nigh by the blood of Jesus. Verse 14, for he is our peace. Boy, I thank God for the peace that God gives us.
Yeah, boy.
Who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That means he made that new and living way that we could go into the Holy of Holies and fellowship with God. We preached last Sunday night on fellowship, and we can boldly go to the throne of grace. We don't have to go to the priest.
Right.
We don't have to make a sacrifice. God, Jesus, when he gave his life a ransom there at Calvary, that veil between the Holy of Holies was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. He said, verse 14, he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us and have abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. You see, I can't keep those commandments.
Uh-uh.
But those commandments were designed. They're my schoolmaster. They brought me to Christ. They showed me I was lost and I need to be saved. And Paul mentioned that in Romans chapter 7. He said, I've not known sin, but by the law, for the law said thou shalt not covet.
Yeah.
And he told one of his sins right there. But here, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's why we've got that peace, is because
that's
of Jesus.
Right. Amen.
And I had an extreme makeover. And I don't look like I used to look. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't do like I used to do.
No.
But it was the Lord that did it. He made in himself of twain one new man, soul making peace. There's peace between me and the Father now. And the Bible mentioned in Isaiah chapter 48, the last verse, there's no peace saith my God to the wicked. Well, I didn't used to have peace, but I got peace now.
Right.
And he gave me that peace. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We got phones today. It's hard to believe that you can just pull out a little old device, touch it, it comes alive, call somebody. I seen Brenda out there in the parking lot talking, I think, to Wanda when we got here, and she said, I got to let you go, the preacher's here. But that being able to call her on that phone is kind of like what Jesus did for us.
Right.
He made that way that we could talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything.
Right.
And we have access by one spirit unto the Father. I don't have no cell phone bill in my prayer life, but I can talk to God. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I'm in the family of God. He's my Father now.
That's right.
Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, the Lord done all the work. And all we're supposed to do is accept the work that He did. Not try to add to it, not try to take away from it. Just accept it and enjoy the things of God. I have to admit, when I first got saved, I did make a lot of mistakes. I had more zeal than I had sense. I got ahead of God two or three times, and I had to slow down. The Bible does tell us to run the race with patience. But,
you're right, honey.
We just need to accept the Word of God, the will of God, the work of God, and enjoy the things of God. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Just say, Lord, thank you for having grace on one so unworthy.
Yeah.
And enjoy the things of God, the promises of God. Paul here in this book of Ephesians, he does such a good job of bringing things that really are complicated. He simplified, and it's just so simple. By grace we're saved. I mean, no more needs to be said. By grace, he says, you're saved. And he just simplified the subject matter of salvation. I was on a radio program one time, and I had a certain denomination preacher in front of me, and I had a certain denomination preacher behind me over at Forbes Auto Lot over in Horse Cave. And I'd come there, and that one that was in there before me, he'd get me down the road, and he'd run out the door, and I'd get in there. I have to admit, it didn't take me long to set him on fire too, because I knew more Bible both of those boys put together and then some. And it's good to know your Bible, because that's what everything is built upon, the Word of God. No other foundation can any man lay but the foundation of the Word of God. And them guys, you know, they just was like empty clouds. They didn't have no substance to them at all. And I hope by some means I helped them on that radio program. But the Lord blessed me on that radio program. The county attorney of Murfreesboro, he paid for my radio program. He called up at the radio station and said, I want to pay for his radio program. And I never did get to meet him. We was going to get together and meet. But he was sending me letters and stuff. Told me appreciated, you know, that radio program. And I thank God for it myself.
Yeah.
But I had I guess you call it a heretic in front of me and one behind me, but I tried my best to simplify it so they could understand. They were just really far from what they needed to be in the Lord. Anybody got any questions tonight about the simplicity of grace? Thank God for it. Amen.
Thank the Lord for giving me grace.
Woo! Boy. That's right. And He said, if need be, give us more grace. Thank God for grace.
Yeah. Amen.